Today we're remembering the late Senator John McCain, and for more on him and his legacy, we're joined now by former Indiana Republican Senator Dick Lugar. And Senator, thanks for coming on. The first thing that strikes me is I don't know if you remember me at all, but I chased you and Senator McCain around Capitol Hill for many, many years, probably 25 years. And you really had very different styles. As you know, Senator McCain had a very quick temper, and he let you have it in public or in private anytime. And you always were, so cool and calm and collected. I never saw you lose your temper. Talk about those two different styles of governing and whether you were ever on the receiving end of Senator McCain's temper. And I say that with respect and affection, of course.
Well, of course, Senator McCain had served and had been captured, had been tortured for 5 years. There were stories about his anger every day that perhaps kept up his morale and his eagerness to live. In other words, it was a very tempestuous and tough life that he led long before he got into the House of Representatives and then to the United States Senate. I think that this doesn't, for a moment, deny the fact that he was a good scholar of issues. He did his homework. And he had, I thought, reasonable positions on most issues. And if he lost his temper, it was because he really felt very strongly about some particular issue and really did not hold back, was prepared really to fight it out.
Senator Lugar, during your time in the upper chamber, you were chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. Of course, McCain was active as chairman of the Armed Services Committee when it comes to foreign affairs. What is the loss of Senator McCain going to mean in terms of America's projection of its standing in the world?
I think the immediate loss is this loss of knowledge that Senator McCain possessed. He not only had been involved in a war in Vietnam, and finally had gotten out of that situation. But when he came to the House and to the Senate, he traveled widely. He traveled constantly. He took along with him many junior members of his committee or others to share at least the experiences and to gain some sense of what was happening in remote countries all over the earth. I remember vividly that our Tuesday luncheons of the Republican Party, that Senator McCain almost always piped up very rapidly after Mitch McConnell, whoever was our leader at the time, made it possible for members to express what was on their minds. And he was not reticent to be the first in line for that. And he usually had come to the meeting with a pretty good idea of what he wanted to say. It was not simply an off-the-cuff of the head situation. It was one in which he wanted to be persuasive. And often the issues were dealing with the military, essentially, and with our use of the military, and the particular strength or weakness of various adversaries that he was describing.
And Senator McCain, as I was suggesting there, and we were just speaking, what you saw is what you got with him. He would let you have it. He would let anybody else have it. You knew where he stood. I'm wondering if you have a personal remembrance of, a trip with him or something that you did with him that that would give us some additional insight into him.
Unfortunately, I don't have such a memory. I never was on board on one of John McCain's travels, nor was he with me when I took Foreign Relations Committee people abroad. So I regret that. At the same time, I visited with him frequently on the Senate floor, as well as these Republican luncheons that I mentioned, because he had, in addition to thoughts about foreign policy and the armed services, some important ideas about reform. I want to cite specifically his sponsorship and the resulting passage of the McCain-Feingold bill, which put at least some limits on campaign spending. This, I felt, was tremendously important. And one of the great regrets that I have is that, of course, it has been overthrown, and our politics now is so involved with millions of dollars of spending, not by the Democratic or Republican parties, but by very special interests or even individuals who are prepared to put millions of dollars into particular campaigns to exterminate various adversaries. But the McCain-Feingold situation was right on in terms of the quality of government. It had nothing to do really with foreign policy or the military. It had everything to do with the quality of the debate and the people who would come to do the debating.
Yeah, I think McCain-Feingold in particular has been one of those instances of bipartisanship, a major instance of bipartisanship that is being remembered when it comes to the impact that Senator McCain had here in Washington and in the country. How does the U.S. government, how does Congress get back to that kind of bipartisanship?
That's a very good question, and a lot of people have asked it all the time. But the fact is that politics in our country right now, and I don't want to oversimplify, are based really upon Republicans attempting to retain their seats, sometimes in battle conditions in which they need to appeal to the base that supposedly was the base that elected President Trump to begin with. And that may take them over into various issues or stances that are not comfortable for them, but they understand that crossing the president at this particular point could be fatal for their own situations. I think on the Democratic side, likewise, there has not been a great deal of thought about moderation with Bernie Sanders or others taking the thought that the future of the party really is more to the left. In fact, some have characterized the Congress now as two groups of people hurting toward the far right and hurting toward the far left, with so-called moderates, or those who might be involved in bipartisan co-sponsorship or a reconciliation, sort of left out of it altogether. Our think tank called the Lugar Center, one of our major objectives is a bipartisan index, which we formulated with the help of the McCourt School of Georgetown University. And we're listing all the members of the House, all members of the Senate, in order on the basis of their ability to offer legislation that gets at least a co-sponsor on the other side. Or
Got it, sir.
Reaching across. Okay. Now, this is to try to meet that.
Unfortunately, sir, we're out of time. But Senator Dick Lugar, thank you so much for your thoughts on Senator McCain.